Did you find the scripture? Well, we have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go ahead and read. I'm reading the King James Version here. Let's read it together. Wherefore, no, you don't have to read it together, but I'll read it. You can read it with me in silence. Okay. Wherefore, he said, we ascended on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first to the lower parts. You have to understand what happened here, because before Jesus died, they were kept in some place called Abraham's bosom. And actually, you could see from there, you could see Jesus said, when the rich man died and Lazarus died, the rich man, I guess he was a wicked rich man, and doesn't mean that all rich people go to hell. He said this rich man went to a place called hell, and this beggar went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And one was having a great time, the other guy was not. So anyway, he says, as far as that's concerned, you cannot, once you go there, you cannot never come back. But anyway, that's free information. I don't know if I frightened you or not, but verse 10 says this. Okay, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. Did we miss the scripture verse? Okay. Let's go back to verse 11 for a second. And it gave some. What about verse 10? Okay. We go to verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some... Our editor is going to have fun with this. Okay. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are what we call, refer to as the ministry gifts in the body of Christ. These are not the exhaustive list, but there are other gifts in the that are ministry gifts. These are the main ones that help us in the local church or in the church at large across the world. Some are travelers. Most of them are travelers. One is not a traveling ministry, which is the pastor who stays stationary in the local church. He doesn't travel only when when the Lord calls him to travel. He will travel because he could be duly anointed. He could have more than one office. A pastor could have more than one office. He could also be an evangelist. He could also be a teacher and so on. So we could see that from Scripture. So in verse 12 it says, that for the perfecting of the saints, so these ministry gifts are for this reason. God gave these gifts. And he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. So ministry gifts are given so that they can do these things, perfect the saints or mature the saints, or so they can show people how to work the ministry and help them to learn how to do the work that's required in the local church, and then to edify, to build up the church, and to help them make them strong. Everybody needs nourishment, right? So we all need the Word of God. Verse 13, till we all come to unity of faith, and that's how we still need those ministry gifts. If you're a Christian who doesn't have a local church to go to, you don't have a pastor, you don't have a team of people around you, you're out of the will of God, because you need everybody. You need others. Till you come in unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The word perfect man says mature man. So that until we get matured unto the measure of the stature of fullness of God. Now the standard is that we should be like Jesus. That's what it's talking about. So that we can become more and more like him. Not only individually, but together as a group. And then verse 13 says, or 14, that we henceforth be no more children. And this is the spiritual growth here. It's talking about this is what happens when we grow spiritually. That we're not henceforth no more children. In other words, that God does not want you to be a child spiritually helpless spiritually. So God doesn't want you to be a spiritual child forever. You got born again. Say, for instance, you got born again 25 or 40 years ago. And it doesn't mean longevity in the natural doesn't mean that you're automatically grew spiritually into a mature person. It takes a while, and we'll show you some of those later on, some characteristics. So, carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, you know, when you're a child, you don't know the difference. You'll just eat everything up. Until, you know, like a little child, we said little children cannot be left alone. They need to know about dangers in life. They need to know about safety. These, you know, like a baby who crawls on the floor, say, for instance, they can eat anything. I was watching some of the kids that grew up around here. They eat anything on the floor. But they never died because we didn't leave bad things on the floor. So you can just eat anything. Toss to and fro. Someone who's not spiritually a mature Christian is up and down. One day, whoo, I'm on top of the world. Jesus, wonderful, this is great. The next thing, oh, man, God's left me. I got no friends. I'm all alone. Their Facebook is full of stuff like, you know, oh, man, the world is ending. I want to die. You know, everybody's against me. And so you see that reflection because God wants you to be confident. You know, if you're going to reflect, if you're going to attract someone, they want to be with someone who is a mature person. So, that's not a, you know, a judgment on persons, but that's we have to see what we are like. We need mentors and people who help us develop in life. So we're not going to be up and down, tossed to and fro, cared about when their doctrine started taking. I know people, personally know people, who was cared about with wind of doctrine. Some new teaching comes up. They're stable in the church. All of a sudden, they're gone because somebody gave them some information. Now they're gone. Somebody on television, somebody on the internet. Now they're gone another direction, but they're not home anymore in the church. They're not happy anymore. They're like, you know, they're just unstable in that. So the wind of doctrine of things come and go. How many people know that winds of doctrine come? They come and go. Oh, this great teaching. Now this is the teaching. Now this is over here. Let's run over here. Let's run over there. They're going to every camp meeting. Huh? Every time something comes on, they're going over there. There's a new church starting. Everybody's over there now. Thinking, that's what it is. How many times have we seen this in the city? A new pastor comes in. Oh, everybody gathers around. And that's the greatest church. Let's worship him right now. And, even in this church, we had people say to me, oh, you're the greatest pastor ever. We love you. As soon as I say something they don't like, they're gone. So wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, there's people who are cunning and crafty. They're deceptive. So we will know when we are taught the scriptures, if somebody is going to, if they're off, you can tell, no, that guy's off. I ain't listening to him. Right? So you know in your spirit and in your mind, because your mind has been taught in the Word, so you know, hey, this is not right. This is something wrong here, you know? So you know about this. So these are the things about the ministry gifts will give you this kind of insight and revelation to the Scriptures that you understand, you know this, you become very stable as a person. And, you're not going to go crazy like I did with my food, my eating my food, eating sugar all the time. Drinking pop every day. My wife told me, and I didn't like it. I didn't like my wife for that. You know, I just said, Lord, you got to get rid of her. She's interfering with my pop business. Every day I sit out for a meal, I got to get a Coke here. No, we'll stay off Coke this time. We'll just buy some juice. Full of sugar, right? And then we're going to put some ginger ale in there. And ginger is good for you. Right? So you won't flatulate too much. Get rid of the gas. I didn't say fart. I said flatulate. Okay. I know you'd like that. I said fart. So, fart's not a bad word. It's not a swear word. Right? Did you this morning? That pastor used the word fart. Okay, so words mean words to people, right? Okay, Kathy loves this, right, Kathy? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so anyway. So you get to eat right, spiritually. If you're going to grow, that's what he's talking about. If you're going to grow spiritually from a childhood stage of development, and you could, Jerry, are you doing okay? I'm bouncing up and down there. Okay. I hope that camera was on because he's like, I think he's getting drunk behind there. Okay, verse 14. Jerry, you take it easy. Okay. Verse 15. Now watch this. But speaking the truth in love. You know, it's okay to tell people stuff, but we need to speak with love, right? People, that's the truth. I do speak the truth all the time. I'm going to tell you the truth. And you almost kill the person. Tell them everything about them. They don't need to know everything at once, you know. Just kind of sneak up on them and tell them a little bit at a time. Just like the person who's supposed to take care of the cats. How many cat lovers we have? Okay. I'll give you a story about a cat. And we had a story about a guy who was taking care of someone's cat. Should I tell this story? Anyway, it goes like this. You know, just make it shorter. The guy was taking care of the cat. I think it's the mom's cat. Was it the mom's cat? And she went away on holidays. And the cat died. But so he didn't want to tell her right away that the cat's dead. So he just said, well, and he made the phone call over. Well, the cat's on the roof. But he didn't want to let him know right away the cat died. Anyway, tell him slowly. This is how it is. You tell him slowly. Anyway, forget I said about that. Go read this. Speaking the truth of love may grow up in him into all things. So grow up in him. Grow up in all, him in all things. Grow up in him means we grow up in Christ. So the main focus of spiritual growth, we're talking about spiritual growth, is that we grow up to be like Jesus. To resemble him, to look like him, to talk like him, to treat others like him. You know, we need to see that we need to grow up. All of us need to grow up. No, that's not talking about everybody. The pastors need to grow up. I need to grow up. Pastor Ken needs to grow up. Everybody needs to grow up. Our leadership needs to grow up. Everybody. And so we have leadership training here once a month. I've been doing that since 2000. We have leadership training. And you need ongoing training. At your workplace, you need ongoing training. You don't just take one certificate program or college, you know, university or whatever, and then you know everything. Your job continually trains you. And there's days that you feel like, you know, you just feel like Superman. Next day, you just feel like a bum. I mean, you're up and down sometimes with work, right? So you need training. So in the church, if you come and serve in the church without training, have mental health training, renewing your mind. Like, not everybody's going to be nice when you serve them in the church. In fact, you might be the one that's bad, have a bad mind, attitude coming to work at the church. So you need correction. You need to be corrected as why you're doing. Why are you serving in the church for? Is it just get a big name? Do you want to just, you know, enjoy your stuff? You know you're there to serve. You're there to serve Jesus. So we have to get our minds corrected and learn how to treat people properly, right? And enjoy them and work with them and not, you know, spend time figuring out their bad habits, but find something good about them and work with them. So we have leadership training to help us. And so that's growth, spiritual growth. So we all need training. So let me just... So spiritual growth is the development and growth of the human spirit. Our human spirit needs to grow up. And so when we got born again, for those of you that don't remember this, our spirits were born again, but our mind wasn't born again, and our bodies weren't born again. When I say our minds, I'm talking about our soul. Your soul was not born again. Your spirit was. Now, some people in some churches, in some Christian circles, think that the soul and the spirit are the same thing. They are interconnected so much that they're almost the same because we are a spirit being. We possess a soul and we live in a physical body. So everything is interconnected. And so if we just focus on the outward side first and the mental side only and neglect the spirit, we're going to get into trouble. We'll have a hard time. So we need to catch up on that. And besides, the more spiritual we are, the better we are, the stronger we are when it comes to combating sickness and combating, bad relationships and so on, and learning to be calm in life when everything looks bad, so we learn how to calm ourselves down and be grounded. Everybody say, be grounded. So we need to be grounded in the things of God. I know that I was at the St. Joseph's, a gathering, a reunion, like the school that I went to here, the residential school. I went there for a few years, and I went to another school in the Eastern Ontario. So I went there for a couple of years as well. And my mother went to a place called McIntosh, which is a school over here, and she spent all of her childhood since she's about 5 years old, right up till she was almost a preteen. She spent all her life, and she suffered greatly. And so we had a time to meet together last week with some of our people, and we wanted to celebrate, we wanted to celebrate the good side of life, and that's what we did. So we had a great time. So we all need to develop. We all need to grow. And for us to, we shouldn't forget that and make sure it doesn't happen again. But we don't dwell on it. We don't live there every day, grieving every day. Oh, I'm having a hard time. You know, and some people are there. They don't realize they can actually develop. And yes, that happened to me, but I can be strong. And so we need to do something with our soul. So our soul is our mind. Our soul is our attitude. Our soul is our imaginations. Our soul is our will. You can decide right now to be strong or weak. Because, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. And if you really, really feel really weak, you say, I feel weak. No, that's not talking about feelings. That's talking about spiritual. You can be strong right now if you want to be. And so you have to decide that I'm going to be strong on the Word. That means I'm going to put the Word first and act on the Word. I'm not going to think about what I feel. I want to say what God says, be strong, be courageous. Be courageous means, doesn't mean that you don't have any feelings of fear. It just means that you're not going to walk by that fear. You're going to say, I'm afraid, but I'm still going to do this. I'm afraid to go to Faith Lab Bible College, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's the way you do it, right? I'm going to go there anyway. I'm going to take it. So when we left for Rhema, we had no money, and we believed that God will provide it. We had ideas of how God was going to provide, and so we left here in 1998, the fall of 1998. My wife and I packed up with our two children, and we went south, and we believed that the church could help us some, but then there's more, you need more money. So we believed that God would provide financially for us. So we said, I'm afraid to do it. I'm afraid to move to a new country. But I want to go because I believe God wants me to go. So everybody here, you don't just not make a change in your life because you're afraid. You do it courageously. You say, I'm afraid, but I'm gonna go. I'm gonna walk with God. So that's what it is about being spiritually mature. Now I want you to look at something here with me. Let's go to we see here Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 15, it talks about it that we be no more children. So God doesn't want the Ephesians to be little children anymore, and he doesn't want you and me to be a little child anymore. We're tossed around in life by the winds of doctrine, by the winds of life, we're tossed around. No, God wants us to be stable. Even when things are going crazy around us, we can be grounded. Jesus said, no matter what happens, listen, I've conquered the world, you'll have peace. And so that's what we want. So there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look at a scripture here. Paul was, he was urging the guys there to grow up spiritually. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. So we saw Ephesians. They needed to grow up to be like Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, verse 12 to 14, you have been, this is a New Living Translation. You have been believers so long now. Hebrews 5 and 12. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teachers. Instead, you need someone else to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies. So they've been Christians for a long time, but he said in there, you're like babies who need milk again, who cannot have solid food. So listen, one of the characteristics of someone who's not spiritually mature is they can't take the word if you try to correct them. I don't want to have to hear that. You know, you can't tell certain people things because they won't listen to you. Because you can't take it emotionally. They're undeveloped. They haven't had control over their senses, their feelings, and their thoughts. They can't think, okay, this guy wants to help me. He loves me. He's not criticizing me. He just wants to help me. So here he says, that's what he says. So Paul, evidently in Christ by the Holy Spirit, didn't think the Hebrew Christians were mature. They needed milk again. They couldn't eat solid food. You know, babies, as I mentioned comically last week about a baby, he doesn't have teeth. You know, very once in a while they have a meme. They show a baby smiling with teeth. A 7-month kid that is smiling and on Facebook with teeth. But babies don't have teeth. But they get about 8 months, they can bite you. Right? So here, verse 13, someone who lives on milk is still an infant. Doesn't know how to get what is right. And verse 15 says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So some Christians, they have to ask you questions. Is this right? Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this wrong? Like we talk about, is it okay for me to drink alcohol? Is it okay for me to smoke cigarettes? Is it okay for me to go to the movies? Can I listen to rock music? So if you don't know how to answer those questions for yourself, you need some growth. That's everybody here. We're all 70s. Nobody's laughing at that one because you don't dare to laugh at that. But so everybody needs to answer those questions themselves. Now, there are some things that's okay for you but wrong for somebody else. Some things that you do can offend someone, so don't do that in front of them because you can offend them spiritually. Okay? There's some people say, well, you shouldn't eat, pigs. That's why I don't eat bacon anymore. It's wrong. The Bible says you cannot. Well, I read in my Bible, you can eat anything you want. Right? You can eat anything you want, as long as it's okay for you. But someone else doesn't. Somebody could drink a beer, other people can't. And I made this, and Pastor Ken gets mad at me like crazy sometimes. Some things he said, I said to him, I just said to him, oh, let's get him mad today. But anyway, there's some things I say or do will offend someone. They think, oh, you're the most carnal person in the world. No, you have dealt with certain things in your life. With God, and if you read Corinthians and Romans very carefully, you're going to see you have to be guided by your own conscience. Now, there are things that are literally wrong. You shouldn't do things in front of people. They're absolutely going to hurt them spiritually. That's why my wife and I, we don't go to movies over here. It's not wrong to go to movies. I go to movies. I can go to movies. But I do it in New York. Go in Toronto. Nobody knows me in Toronto. You know? But you see, certain things people, they'll say things to you, you know. In fact, I'm telling you, this is how people think. I'll go to, it used to be A&P or what is it called, Metro now? I'm going to Metro, and I'm going there with my cart, and somebody asked me, somebody stopped me, you shop? You know, as if you're so spiritual, you don't go shopping. You know what I'm saying? I say, yeah, I go shopping. And I eat too. But you see, we have funny ideas about things. But you also understand that don't do things to offend someone. And if it's right for you, you know, let it between you and God. That's what Paul said. Let it between you and God. Some people, it's a sin to do certain things. Paul says, I can do anything I want. I'm free. Yes, you're free. You might be free in yourself, but not for everybody. That's why if you come in my car, I'll put CBC on right away. I mean, I don't listen to AC/DC, you know, like Highway to Hell. You know, I'm not listening to stuff like that. I mean, I have to watch what I'm listening to, right? You have to be careful with everything, right? You don't just listen to everything. So anyway, we have to, as a Christian, we have to grow and develop in the things of God. That don't be so super spiritual that, you know, you make it hard for everybody to live with you. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody, everything, you got to watch everything, you know, you got to watch with some Christian with them. You, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. You know? And so I remember years ago, someone said to me, you got to get rid of all your native art. You know? Because there's a story behind it. You're going to have to answer that question. Paul said, you know, if you're he's telling the Corinthians, because they asked him a question, should I eat meat that's offered to idols? He said, wait a minute. We know idols are nothing anyway. They're not gods. There's only one creator. He creates everything. He's the Lord of everything. He made everything. So there's questions that people have right in this church about stuff like that. And you got to be keen enough to understand to be inside in your spirit to go through the scriptures and understand certain things in life. Because I was the same way too about it. And I didn't know things. If you have to question it, it means you're not settled with it yet. You gotta figure this out. And if you do anything that's going to offend your own spirit, you're not doing it in faith. Okay. Are you here today? Are you gone home yet? Anybody gone home yet? It's 11:48. And we're just getting started. This is your captain speaking. We're about to take off here in a few minutes. We're just, your tenants are trying to get things ready here. If you need a pillow, you can get your pillow. Okay, we're going to go up now. So anyway, these guys still need basics. They needed basics. Paul said, you still need basics. You should have been teachers. You should be teaching other people. You should be a mentor by now, but you're not. And he said, you should be far ahead spiritually than you actually are. So we all can relate to that ourselves, and we could all relate that to everybody else. So solid food is teaching that, you know, things that you might not like, say, for instance, you need a prayer life. What? We need to learn how to pray. Like, when I tell people, you know, I was coming out of the conference center, and some lady stopped me, like I said, yesterday. She said, hey, Roma, how are you? Long time no see. You know, we used to know each other back in school and everything. And she said, I've been following you online. I've been following you. I watch your television show and so forth and so on. And so, you know, one of the things I like about you, she said to me, you said one time in your teaching, you said, when the people come and always ask you, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And it's okay to pray for people. I'm not against it. I understand my point. Okay, so, and I said, you know, pray for yourself. What I'm trying to say is, get a life, get a prayer life. Learn how to pray yourself. Just like that girl over there said, I've been in church all my life, but I never learned that stuff. So learn how to pray for yourself. And so if I tell you, pray for yourself, you're going to learn how to pray for yourself. So sometimes people get offended. Because you're a spiritual man. What are you doing? You ought to be praying. No, you ought to be coming here and learning. When I'm teaching on prayer, you need to be here to learn about prayer. Amen. And you're missing God by not coming to the seminars we put on for you, the leadership sessions that we put on for you, but you're not coming. And so we learn these things in home. So this is your spiritual home. It's like you have a spiritual home with your mom and dad when you grew up, and this is your home spiritually. We grew up in the church. So here's another one that Paul didn't think. So Paul didn't think the Ephesians were grown up. He didn't think the Hebrews were grown up. Then he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, he says, but those people here, they needed discipline in their lives. They had gifts. And let's say this, because we have gifts, just because we have gifts doesn't mean we're spiritual mature. I could learn, I could be a good preacher and all that. Doesn't mean I'm grown up. Right? I can prophesy and I can lay hands on people. Doesn't mean I'm grown up. Because I know how to do that. God will honor me. Right? So 1 Corinthians, dear brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, this is the New Living, I couldn't talk to you as I would as spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. That's amazing that all these guys, 1 Peter, Hebrews, and all Corinthians, you're talking about infancy. Like these guys were grown up for quite a while. Like apparently, 1 Corinthians, when he wrote this letter, they were already 5 years, somewhere about 5 years in the Lord. They were somewhere around there. And so he's telling them that they couldn't be fed with milk. They were infants. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. Aren't you still ready? You still aren't ready, and you're still controlled by your sinful nature. Okay, so they're Christians, but they're still controlled by their, when he says sinful nature, he's talking about the natural body or your feelings. And he's talking about the mind, which hasn't been truly renewed in the things of God. So we have to every morning we get up, every one of us, and thank God some people learn how to pray every morning and they meditate and they get their heart right. He said, this morning I'm going to have a good day. No matter what happens, if I get offended by something, I'm just going to walk. That's a good way to start. I learned that in AA, and that's why I said, you know, all you guys should go to AA. That's what my saying was, because you learn how to grow. You learn how to serve. You learn how to help people, you know, when you go to AA. Yes, this man right here. I'm breaking his anonymity, but anyway, nobody sees him behind the camera. But we all know who he is. We all know the drunk he was before. No, seriously. And so you're serving. You go serve people. Not because you want to be seen, but you want to do it because we had to do it because we had to stay sober. But we learned something. We learn about sacrificing, doing things that you don't want to do because for your own benefit. So when you come to work and clean the floors and shake hands and you do administration, you do your grounds, you do the flowers, you do whatever, clean the washrooms. I see this man cleaning the washrooms. And I came here, we were here Thursday night. I saw this young lady back there cleaning up, washing floors. Nobody was here all alone. This is a teenager. I said, what are you doing here? I'm cleaning up. I said, okay. And so just cleaning up. Nobody's there. Nobody's going, we love you. Cheer. We're going to cheer you up. Sunday morning, we're going to parade you around the room. Let everybody know that you've been cleaning up. No, because you did it because I want to do it. It's beneficial for me. So when you're serving in church and you start complaining, where's everybody else? Why doesn't it have to always be me? Why do I have to water these plants? Why do I have to sweep up this and clean this and wash that and scrub that? Right? Because you love it. Don't you love me? I told my wife one time, you know, we went home, I sat down, I was going to have something to eat. I said, there's no milk. I've been telling her for 2 days. And I was teasing her, but seriously at the same time, I said, if you'd love me, you'd go to the store right now and buy milk. I was trying to put on a guilt trip. But did she go? Not that time, but she did later on. You try to play tricks on your wife, but it doesn't work. Anyway, he says in here, you aren't ready. You still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. This is new living. You're jealous. How many jealous people we got here this morning? Jealous of each other, right? How come he goes to the Eagle concert and I can't? How come he's in the Bahamas? Why does he buy a new car and I can't? And I've been working for Jesus for a long time. Right? So here, people are jealous of one another and quarreling, always fighting. Looking for something to fight. So we do all our fighting at home, eh, hun? In fact, we don't even see each other. She has her dog, I have my dog. Our dogs fight for us. They're fighting this morning when she comes down that room and they start attacking one another. Oh, man. Anyway, anybody want a Frenchie? They quarrel. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? So what I was talking about, in the morning you get up and you crack up your mind, you meditate, you say, you know what, I'm going to have a good day today. And that when we do prayer exercises, Jen, when we do prayer exercises, we do this. We're gonna make our faith confession. We're gonna have a great day. Everybody say what I say. We're gonna have a great day today. I'm gonna have a wonderful day. Thank God he's on my side. I'm never without. I'm not going to be offended today. I'm going to walk by the love of God. I'm walking by faith. So we say things like that. You know, it's going to be a fantastic day. It's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a supernatural day. It's going to be a God-filled day. So this is what we do when we make confessions in the morning. We say that. I mean, you don't have to do all those. Do your own and find something there that you can remember during the daytime. So we all have to do that. So this here, he said, you're controlled by your sinful nature. He's talking about the part of you that didn't get born again, which is your body. Your body wants to do the same thing it did before you were born again. Like I tell people all the time, and people might not like this, but this is the true thing. Scientifically says that your body, if it's been addicted, will always want that same thing. And I have to be strong enough spiritually on the inside to say no to my body. If I don't watch myself, if I messed around when I was back there and just slept around, I can go right back there in no time. People looking at each other. No, you can go back to where you were before you were saved. If you were a liar, if you fought, you can go right back there tomorrow. That's why renewing the mind is so important for us to grow up. That's what we're talking about, spiritual growth. And that, so here's what Brother Higgins said. Just like when you get up in the morning, you have to comb your hair every morning. Your hair doesn't go by itself in place. You have to take your hair and comb it. How many of you combed your hair this morning? I'm just trying to check because some of you like, you gotta comb your hair. So you take your hair, you comb your hair, and so your mind is the same thing. You have to comb your mind. Okay, so my mind, I'm gonna take a hold of it today. I'm gonna think right. I'm gonna have the best attitude today. And I know I'm going to work with so-and-so today. And I know she's going to offend me. And I'm going to, you know. Or, you know, this is a hard one. I'm not going to eat ice cream today. Last night, the spirit of Bannock came to my house. I'm sitting there. Hey. And it wanted me. Come to me. So whatever we used to do before we're saved, you'll go back to that. If you don't take care of it, it'll come back to you. And so we have to, let me just give you these and then we can close. Watch this. Here we go. Okay. Where's my list? I got a list for you to see here. So, first of all, if you're going to grow up to be a mature person, first of all, number one, you're going to have to know this. You're going to have to know who you really are in Christ. Know your identity. You know, at some point in my life, I say, I got to know my identity. I got to know, you know, I'm a niche person. I got to find out all about my nicheness. You know? But the really important thing is who are you spiritually? Who's your God? Do you know your God? You know what you can do to your God? That's the important thing. Yes, the other stuff is important to be a French person, right? To know who you are as a French person? As an Irish person? Right? Ukrainians? Italians? Right? You have to know those things. They're fine. Thank God. But that doesn't change anything in the spiritual realm. You don't say, you leave here, I'm a niche person right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm an Ojibwe, go! You don't tell the devil that, right? The devil's going to laugh at you. Right? Yeah? You know, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, my mom used to say, that's my Irish coming out, she would say. That's what my mom always said. That's the Irish, and they were fighters, were, you know, so on. So that's why I get mad so quickly. So, but I'm going to keep my money. I'm like a Scottish man. So there's funny things people say about their culture, right? Okay, let's not forget about that. Erase that off. Number two, if you're going to be growing up spiritually, you're going to know this. You're going to govern your life by faith. Everything is going to be governed by faith. You're going to be walking by faith. In every area, your prayer life, everything. When I'm working with you, I know, you know what, we don't get along, but I'm going to do this by faith. I'm going to work with you anyway. So in ministry helps, just happens in ministry helps. You might not like everybody you work with, but you're going to do it because you're going to grow up, because you're going to realize you need to have some patience with people. You need to learn to develop. Number three, in everything you do, has to be within the realm of love. Walking in love with people and find out all about there is to know how to walk in love with people. And one more thing I want to give you here. Let's see. Ta-da! Ta-da! Okay. Did I? Okay. I gave... Let's see here. Wrong one. Where are you? There you go. Here's some things that we did. Let's put these down. Let me give you these and we're going to close. Just write these down real quickly. So we saw three churches, groups of people there that by the Holy Spirit, God told them that they needed to develop, pull up their socks spiritually. If we're not growing spiritually, something is wrong somewhere, and so, and then there's evidence that we can tell we need growing. Here's number one. A growing Christian has to have a hunger for God in their heart and life. If you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, you're not reading your Bible, you don't sit under teaching, you know, people are anointed to teach the Word in the way that people need it. So you have to have a hungry heart for the Word of God. If you don't have that, you need to you're actually starving. A growing Christian has an increasing desire to know God. You want to get to know Him. You want to know your Father. You want to get close to Him. Number three, a growing Christian has a greater sensitivity of what's wrong in their life, like maybe a sinful area in their life. And they have a sensitivity when they sin, they just don't feel good about it. They say, this is not right. I got to make a change. So they're sensitive to sin. Number four, a growing Christian has a decreasing desire for the world system, like to be in the world itself and to just a mix in there, because, you know, Paul says we have to come out of the world. You know, he tells the Corinthians, you know, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Then to the Romans, he says, do not be like them in the world. Follow their ways, copy their ways. And God told, Hebrews, he says, don't follow the customs of the people. When you move to their lands, don't follow with them. Don't mingle with them, because they'll take you in. And you'll get lost. A growing Christian's sphere of love is continually growing. Your love for people, your love for your church, love people and the things of God. Six, a growing Christian finds it easier to forgive and let people go. Just to forgive. I can do that. I can forgive. God says forgive. Okay, I'm going to forgive. Seven, a growing Christian has concerns for spiritual conditions of other people. They're praying for other people. They take time to pray for others. Pray for their family. You know. So like I say, I want to remind you, I pray for you every day. I pray for this church every day, sometimes specifically for people. But most of the time, there's basic things I have to pray and cover in my prayer about people, about this church, and about all our partners, everyone who's our partner in Spirit of Life. I cover you every day, pray God's protection upon you. I pray that the wisdom of God, sometimes specifically God shows me how to pray for people. That opens the doors. So when you're my partner, I'm going to stand with you in prayer. If you got somebody to stand with you and help you in those things. So you have a concern for the spiritual condition of other people around you. Eight, a growing Christian wants to be growing continually. You're always like, I gotta grow, I gotta develop, I gotta have my faith stronger, I gotta grow and learn how to serve more, I gotta learn how to do this better. How can I serve better? Those are just some keys, but we're gonna look at some more as we go along, you know. So this is it, guys, for today.